Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... The Bum King.
The Bum
King. Long may he reign.
Long may he reign. Entitled
totality.
Hail the Bum King.
Entitled totality.
That one is from Charlotte Russell. Thanks, Charlotte. She got in touch with us on facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show to give us titles any time of the week, although we do ask for genre-specific titles every weekend. So yeah, go there, guys.
This week's genre was underwear movies.
Underwear movies.
Let's say that one. I mean, yeah, this is our month of flipping weird genres.
Yep.
And last week we had itchy movies. This week, underwear.
Okay. Joining us on this week's podcast is Adam Owen.
Heidi, hi.
How's it going?
It's going quite well. I'm awake and everything is going fantastic.
Sweet.
Good stuff.
So
how do you feel about underwear movies?
I'm quite attached, if you must know.
What did you think to Thunder Pants?
That was years ago, mate. That was
Thunder Pants. I must have been about 8, and I read the Beano a lot as a kid, so that was right up my alley.
Yeah. What about the Captain Underpants movie?
I have watched that recently. It is quite good.
Yeah. There's got to be a kind of kinky boots, but for underwear, right? Like, there's got to be a film where an underwear factory is shutting down, but they need a cool new change of direction to bring them back up to speed.
Maybe we can pitch it as we go on to some honourable mentions. Do you want to hear some honourable mentions, guys?
Yes.
Okay, so from Connor Lavelle, and that is Under France, but in caps. It's all in caps.
Under France. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. So we are... Oh, right. Can we clarify something? I know this is maybe a little late into the podcast to do it. Mm. Don't mean this episode. I mean, like, X hundred episodes in. Does this have to be... Do we have to do underwear genre movies, or do the titles just have to be underwear related in this one?
I like the idea of the titles being underwear related, but we can go wherever we want.
I would like to involve underwear in this, but it does seem like there would be there's a subterranean race of people making underwear under France.
I'd say that counts. Like, if it's an action, like when you ask to do apocalypse films or action films, like we were a little bit fast and loose with those rules. Mm. But yeah, we were aiming for kung fu or whatever, but with underwear, that's like an item.
Yeah. Okay, right. All right. The Paris fashion scene, right? Yeah. Well known around the world for its fashion.
I knew that.
We all know about that. Willem Dafoe is a fashion designer.
Okay. I can see that.
He has been working real hard. He's from America, and he's trying to break the Paris fashion scene. Yeah? But right now, in the fashion scene, there's a big kick on making sure you use, you don't use, like, slave labor, like a lot of clothing manufacturers do, right? Like, you're not allowed to...
Sweatshops and stuff.
You're not allowed to use, like, sweatshops and stuff. Like a lot of the American designers do, right? He's got, like...
Yeah.
Gary Gap is, like, next to him. He's like, huh, are you really going over to France? You know they're totally weird and they hate it when you use sweatshops. That's Gary Gap for you.
Keanu Reeves is being very confrontational about that.
He's like bro fisting him up, like he's like, "Ah, go for it, man."
Willem Dafoe would be a bit overwhelmed by that sort of introduction.
Willem Dafoe's used to it because he's like he's a down to earth but like talented fashion designer, right? He's used to this.
I'm a down to earth but very talented designer. I'm used to this.
I'm used to this. It's fashion. It's what I do.
It's what I do, and I do it for the people because I'm down to earth. I'm okay with not using sweatshops, but I just don't know how they do it, how they keep it to such a low budget. These people are creating incredible works of art, and they're doing it on such a low budget. How are they not using sweatshops?
You're saying it as if the people in the sweatshops design the fashion.
Yeah. They make it to the specifications. I don't know. It's like fashion, you know. They got to make it big.
Yeah.
So like, they're sort of making these amazing clothes and making them mass produced, but they don't know how. All right, that's where I'm at.
So what happens to Willem Dafoe in France?
Well, he uncovers a conspiracy. Of the fashion industry, where essentially they're not using sweatshops, but what they are doing is using a sewer race, you know, those like mutants,
yeah,
to sew their underwear together.
All so played by who?
I want to say it's Bob Hoskins.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them, Bob Hoskins.
All of them, Bob Hoskins. Cool. He's like, all right, I'll do it if you want. Don't worry about it.
I'm making underwear for you. And a friend.
Don't mind. It's like they keep throwing down chicken legs, turkey legs.
My chicken legs just fall from the ceiling and they're like, dinner time!
We live the bloody life, don't we, boys? Oh, aye, we live the bloody life. Life of Riley, this. Sewing, sewing, sewing all the time. And then eat some chicken legs. Oh, we love it. And then he's down there. He's like, but don't you realise that you are being treated as slave labour? You could take your place as and be paid, and you could, you know, get some stuff. And he managed to lead an uprising of a load of them, even though they were really happy. He managed to lead an uprising.
If I had chicken legs just dropped down from the ceiling, I'd be very happy with that life. I'd be set for life.
Into your sewer home.
Beggars can't be choosers, mate. Me and my Bob Hoskin mates are gonna live.
Well, at least rents are low. You know?
Yeah. I mean, if that's all you know, sewers and chicken legs fall from the ceiling, pretty happy life. So,
that's why they call it a sewer.
Shocking. Okay. Shocking. Should we move on?
Yeah.
From Tomasz Chodakowski, and in brackets I've written Bond film question mark, because it sounds like a Bond film. The Knickers to Die For.
Ooh. See, that's the thing. Like, we've been very focused on briefs and boxers. I liked the idea of, let's have a bra in there.
Okay.
Some bras.
Some bras and knickers. Let's go for the whole palette.
Yeah, so do you reckon there are a pair of knickers that are diamond encrusted? Or like, or something like, someone's been murdered.
Mm.
But the only thing stolen was their pants. And there's no sign that anything else was removed.
Mm.
They'd have to have stuff like a wallet on them, a passport, everything that you would actually want to steal.
Yeah.
And then you got the like the secret agent being like, so why would they steal the box? Steal the knickers?
Why would they? It's James Bond.
Okay.
And
Who's playing James Bond?
Dave Benson Phillips.
Dave Benson Phillips in a corduroy jacket. and trousers.
Yeah, he's like
we've rebooted Bond now to the point where his uniform is now instead of a tuxedo and tie and bow tie, it's corduroy jacket and trousers with flares.
Yeah, that'll do. We're dragging James Bond into the 21st century.
Yeah. Kicking and screaming. So, Dave Benz Phillips, like I said, I think there's an evil supervillain out to get these diamond knickers.
They are diamonds then, okay.
Yeah. And they're being worn originally by a supermodel who Bond just sleeps with. He's like, "Those are nice knickers." "I'm Dave Benson Phillips." No, wait. James Bond.
"I'm James Bond in corduroy."
Corduroy. He never takes the corduroy off.
I like that. James Bond through Guru Larry.
But, yeah, he sleeps with this woman and she wakes up dead. He's like, "I didn't kill her." And he's being framed and the knickers have gone.
I think potentially, like, the person who designed these knickers is like the husband of a scientist who's making, like, a physicist who's making like hyper diamonds. They're like incredibly dense and they've been used to like do stuff like drill into the center of the earth. And so I want to say Susan Sarandon is this physicist.
Yeah, right? I'm happy with that.
The husband is Michael Fassbender.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a question mark and a half.
That's a pairing I like the sound of, yeah.
So he's designed these knickers, and the problem was that this. Okay, here we go. So there's a shipment of these knickers going out. They're all, because they're made of diamonds. They are encased in, like, they're in cases, really secure cases. They're just about to leave when this physicist, this mansion they live in, is attacked by a mysterious organization trying to get the secret diamonds. From Susan Sarandon, right? Because the diamonds are going to be used to drill into, they want to use the diamonds to drill into the center of the earth and cause earthquakes everywhere or whatever the fuck supervillains do, right? Michael Fassbender's like, "Quick, I'll sew these diamonds into the knickers and send them on their way just before they get here." So now they've ended, all these diamonds have ended up in one random pair of supermodels' knickers.
Okay.
Right? So all these supermodels are wearing them all around the world, but one of them has this magic diamond that can drill to the center of the earth.
So Dave Benson Phillips has to sleep his way through.
Yeah.
You can't just ask them. No, he's got to sleep with all of them.
No way you could ask. Just
if he asks, right? They'll be on to him. He's got to sleep with them.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? If because they're all being, he knows they're all being watched, right? So that means that if he reveals himself as a secret agent, then they'll be attacked because they'll think that, okay, that's the one that they've got. So let's go. So the first supermodel wearing these knickers is played by now Macaulay Culkin.
Right.
Are you sure you want it now, Macaulay Culkin? Because he's got a bit more meat on his bones. He's looking a lot healthier.
Yeah. We're
good.
5 years ago, Macaulay Culkin.
That was it.
What crack, Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
If you want.
Yeah.
I can see that. Macaulay Culkin.
I want Macaulay Culkin at his best. She's now.
Fair.
I was about to interpret that as I want Macaulay Culkin when he's 10 years old. Thank God you included the last bit.
Which is now. So Dave Benson Phillips sleeps with Macaulay Culkin. He's like, "You ain't got the knickers on." And he sleeps with another few hundred women.
That's the end of that scene. That's the end. He's just like, you ain't got the knickers on.
Just a Macaulay Culkin cameo.
That's what... Cut to Dave Benson until it's driving a boat down a river. Somewhere in the country.
There's a car chase in there. But mainly it's Dave Benson Phillips sleeping with people.
When he's seducing Macaulay Culkin, there's the whole bit where Macaulay Culkin's like, yeah, I've got a boat out the back because I'm such a successful supermodel. So, you know, at this point, like, he's like, you ain't got the knickers on. And then cut to Dave Benson Phillips being chased out of a hotel by everyone as he jumps into this boat. Drives away.
Well, he's got to sleep with these women.
He's questioning his qualifications as a spy.
Yeah, but remember, this is wacky. This is wacky Bond now.
Had
Daniel Craig Dark Bond. This is wacky Bond. So that's why we took Dave Benson Phillips, the English children's TV presenter from the 1996 onwards until 2005.
Dave Benson Phillips is my Bond, all right?
Yeah. Wacky Bond.
Wacky Bond.
Hello, I'm Wacky Bond.
So, yeah.
Take your knickers off.
He's doing the Scorpa run out of this hotel, just like to this boat and then driving off into the sunset. At which point, yeah. So he goes through, he sleeps through most of the modeling circuit, worldwide modeling circuit. Until he finally did do that in a kind of montage with the Bare Necessities playing over it. And so how does this film come to a head, Adam?
He finds someone that has the knickers, but it's his true love. So, and then the bad guys come in. Bad guys played by Rowan Atkinson.
Yep.
Of course.
Yep. Who is actually playing? He's Spy Commissioner English.
Yes.
John English Free is brilliant. I love it.
I haven't seen two.
Is there a third one?
There's gonna be.
You're saying this is Johnny English 3.
This is part of the rich Johnny English canon, this is, isn't it? That's the whole thing thinking it was.
British spy extended universe.
Rowan Atkinson, throughout the whole film, is wearing some diamond-crusted knickers as well.
Yeah, well, he bought the first pair.
Yeah.
So that he could see if it had diamond on it, but he didn't manage to get his hands on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, as in the actual diamond encrusted knickers are on. Who can it be on? Ellen Page.
Ellen Page.
Yeah.
And Dave Phillips falls in love with her, so he wants to protect her. And then Rowan Atkinson bursts in to blow everyone up.
I love that Rowan Atkinson himself bursts in. Like, he doesn't think goofs. He doesn't blow them into a trap. He doesn't do anything. He just bursts through the door with two pistols.
It worked out for him when he tried to stop. He tried to blow up Susan Sarandon and Michael Fassbender. It worked out pretty good for him.
Just bursts through the door with two pistols and says, "You're coming, get your knickers off." So the final thing is that in this. Right. I'd say he does lure them into a trap, right? Saying that there's like safety there because obviously he's the spy master. So he's like, okay, now bring the pants in. It'll be fine. Now you've found him. Bring them to the MI5. Bring him in. And then he lures them into a trap where all these goons attack Bond and Ellen Page, who is also, who knows karate. And Dave Benson Phillips and Rowan Atkinson are fighting on top of a building, on top of the MI5 building, which I believe is difficult because it's the Gherkin, right?
Why not?
And so they're fighting on top of that, so they're all sliding down all over the place, and then Dave Benson Phillips strangles Rowan Atkinson with the diamond knickers, and they don't break because they're made of this really hard diamond. And he's like, oh, don't get your knickers in a twist. He's wrapped him around his neck and strangles him to death as Rowan Atkinson slides all the way down the Gherkin.
Yep.
Yep. That was the end of that. The Knickers to Die For. Who's the song by?
Jamiroquai.
Yeah.
Knickers to Die For. Oh yeah.
Knickers to Die For.
Okay, so from Critical Maxim, we've got Deep.
Deep?
Yeah, Deep.
That just Deep?
Yeah.
How? Okay, that's an underwear movie.
Yeah.
I guess...
It depends on how deep you go, mate.
Yeah.
I think it's about a guy who wakes up in the middle of the night to find that his room is covered in underwear.
Right.
And he does what any normal sane person would do, is dive in.
Swims down
to the bottom of the underwear.
Well, the thing is, he was about to propose to his girlfriend, right? And the ring is at the bottom, was on the floor, right? The ring box was at the bottom of the floor. He was gonna get up today, and he was gonna go and propose to her. And he's like, "Oh no, I'm late for the meeting her, and I wanted to propose to her. I better find the ring." So he like dives into this underwear, but like a kind of Jim Henson Labyrinth thing, he just keeps swimming.
I was going to say, at the bottom of that is Bowie holding holding his ring, just like, "Oh no, you've got to go through the trials of the underwear king to get this ring."
Yeah, you can just say, "How deep will you go?"
Yeah.
I'll go deep enough. So who's swimming? Who is swimming for the ring at the bottom of the underwear?
Paul Rudd.
Good on him.
Yeah.
Good on him. Doing his best, isn't he?
That's all you can ask, isn't it?
So Paul Rudd is like, "How did I get here?"
Not Paul Rudd.
No, but I mean, like, as from what I've seen people acting opposite Bowie, that's what happened.
So it's Paul Rudd by way of Jennifer Connelly. Okay.
Yeah. It's not fair. He says,
"I've got your ring, Paul Rudd, and I'm going to take it to my underwear kingdom in space." And he's like, "No, don't do that, Bowie. Give me back my ring. I want to play with my girlfriend." Like, "You must have to do the trials."
Oh, no. Can we do the masquerade scene, but with everyone's got underwear on their heads?
Paul Rudd falls through the underwear on the floor again, and suddenly it all starts to peel apart and separate, and he realizes that he's in space. He's floating around in space, but he can breathe. It's really weird.
It's a world of magic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a world of magic and mystery. There's a cat man, and he's like, he's played by Shia LaBeouf.
Really angry Shia LaBeouf.
Says, "I'm a cat man." Oh, God.
Well, he does.
"You're stinky. I don't like you. You got underwear. I'm just getting on with my life out here in space."
This is the best funny or dry sketch I've ever heard.
Paul Rudd's like, "Well, we're in space. Shouldn't we be able to breathe? Shouldn't we not be able to breathe in space?" And he's like, "Shows what you know about space." "It's only, you only can't breathe if you believe you can't breathe."
Yeah, but he was breathing anyway, so he already knew he could breathe in space.
"I can breathe now."
Oh, okay.
Fixed it. Well done, Tom.
So I think the film ends with Paul Rudd ending up at Bowie's Moon Palace.
And he gets there and he's like, oh, that was really easy. And then he took it for granted, so he falls through the floor. And there's a song from pointless characters that just appear and then just sing a song and then just leave. And then that's the punishment for taking things for granted.
the main song, though, is when Bowie, I think, first appears, or no, halfway through, he's dancing along with all his pant goblins.
Yeah,
and he's got these pants on.
Pant aliens. They're in space, Tom. Yeah, it's not a fantasy film.
Oh yeah,
they're
it's in pant space. Aliens.
It's hard sci-fi. Yeah.
Pant aliens. Got these pants on. They're magic pants, and he's gone. Do you want to try my pants? Magic pants.
Pants, magic pants. Pants, magic. Put those magic pants on me.
Yeah, but it is just a chorus because they can't think of any words to rhyme.
Do you get it? It's just like Labyrinth.
You remind me of the ring. What ring? The ring with the pants.
Power. The power of Mordor.
Who do you
the
do?
The power of engagement.
Oh, the amount of times Labyrinth comes up in our podcast. Right, got some awards to give away before we move on to the final pitch. This week's That's Very Clever award goes to Charlotte Hadfield, who gave us Crotchless in Seattle.
Yes, very clever.
Yes, very clever. It's like Sleepless in Seattle, but
yeah, it is crotchless. Very clever. I got it. Yep. I think we all got it.
Yep. Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks, both wearing crotchless panties all the way through.
It's just a study of Tom Hanks's winkle. That's just that. Just the whole film.
Winkle.
Just sort of like zooming in. There it is.
His winkle.
It's Hanks winkle.
Tom Hanks winkle. But it needs like a bit CBeebies narrator above it every time it comes up. Look at it, children. It's
no,
Tom Hanks.
No, that got weird. No, you do not get to say, look at it, children. It's Tom Hanks's winkle.
Fair.
Oh.
We've also got an award to give away for pitching a film in 140 characters. This week's title was Jim's Magic Trousers. And I'm going to give this one to My Waste of Talent. Jim discovers that his new trousers are in fact a powerful transdimensional symbiotic life form that fuses with Jim, granting him reality-warping powers with very dire consequences, along with the endless whispering of the Elder Gods.
Okay, so it's a Lovecraftian Williams Wish Wellingtons.
Yes.
That sounds all right.
Which is a sentence I've always wanted to hear, but never...
Never knew,
yeah. Yeah, so thanks for that, My Waste of Talent. Thanks for everyone who contributed, giving us titles, because if you didn't give us titles, we wouldn't have a show. So,
thank you
again,
very much.
You can go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show to give us titles. We ask for them every weekend based on a genre. But yeah, you can just give us some any time of the week.
Any time of the week. Just if you think of the idea of a movie title that just sounds good or weird, just send it over. We want to hear it. Mm. It's nice to see it pop up. It's nice to hear from you. You never call. Never call your mother.
No. And to choose that genre every week, we do a poll on our Patreon page where you can donate $1 a month to vote on the genre every week. That's 25 cents a vote, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can go to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast to do that. Our patrons are Ross Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spiky Mills, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, and Justice Mole.
So thank you, for your contribution, guys. Very, very nice of you.
Okay, so on with this week's main pitch, and that is from Charlotte Russell. The title is The Bum King.
The Bum King.
Mm-hmm. So what are we thinking for this one, guys?
I think it's a horror movie, but, yeah. You know, it's just me. Adam, you go.
Let me think. I would say medieval Renaissance fantasy.
Ooh.
Why not both?
I was literally grabbed the words from my mouth.
What if Chris Pratt was catapulted back in time?
Yeah, to Renaissance fantasy era.
Yeah.
To meet his great ancestor. The man with the greatest bum in England.
Yeah, but there's a problem because someone's stealing bums.
What? No. This is weird.
I like the idea that when you put it... No, when you take that... Someone can show him, look here, mister, someone's stolen me bum. And he pulls out his hand and it is just a smooth plastic surface.
It's just like, it's more lower back.
Yeah. It's impossible to comprehend with the human eye. It's...
I ain't eaten for days. I'm too scared of what will happen.
So, right. Chris Pratt gets catapulted back in time.
Yeah.
For some reason.
We gotta figure that out.
Inconsequentially, buns are being stolen.
Right. Chris Pratt is a bum scientist.
He is a world expert on bums.
Proctology. He's a proctology, he's a doctor.
It starts off with him sort of teaching a class on bums. And he's like, I wish there was something more to my life.
He's teaching he's one of those university lecturers. Who's like really excited about the depths, like Indiana Jones style. Is like, you know, Indiana Jones isn't just teaching history, is he? He's teaching about history and magic artifacts, right? So,
what? Yeah, as in, what if he could say, I have this theory about the world's most powerful bum, and it will soon encompass the world. And everyone sort of sees him as a bit of a crackpot for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's like, there are evolutionary telltale tags in our genome which are left over somehow from a time when the bum didn't just do pooping and sitting. It did other stuff too. There was something about the bum that just it's the biggest mystery of human biology.
They say that the eyes are the window to the soul, but the bum is our plumbing and sewage facilities.
And the window to somewhere else.
The window to the past, apparently.
Well, so he's doing an experiment, right, which involves inducing some kind of, like, the old genes to to resurface, right? Mm. And this is where it gets horror. Because literally what happens is he takes his own potion that he's made, and which is like, oh, I'm going to activate the power of my bum. And an arm reaches out of his anus hole, grabs his arm, and pulls him through his own bum.
That's
teleports him to the past.
Yeah.
It teleports him to a past where there are no bums.
And
it's not
this medieval kingdom in the past
But their bums haven't been taken away. They never had bums to begin with. And he, that's what he has to do to save the world. He has to invent the arse.
But so my thing is that the bum king, like, can transport from bum to bum. And he'll hide inside your bum and steal things. Or you. He's stealing people.
So, and he's the only man.
It's like being John Malkovich.
But with bums.
Kind of. Although he's like a little leprechaun gremlin man who, like, hides in the bum and then reaches out and grabs you and then pulls you in and eats you.
So who's the bum king? Is it the gremlin man?
Warwick Davis. Warwick Davis
is the bum king.
Okay.
He needs another horror hit after Leprechaun.
So he...
Right. This brat gets thrown out into the middle of a heath. Right, somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. And a like there's the corpse of a man next to him. I think that we should put a hold on no one having bums just yet. Right.
Ooh, I don't know. I think the fact that Warwick Davis has exists in people's bums.
Yeah.
And the fact that he goes back to a time when there are no bums is...
Yeah.
That they can be linked in some way.
Well, like, I was thinking that but Warwick Davis would want more people to have bums, right? So that he's he's got more places to travel.
But like, yeah, but in the land of the bumless, the man with one bum is king.
Maybe third act, Warwick Davis has inflicted the curse of the bum on the entire human race, but Chris Pratt kills him, so they're safe now.
I don't know.
Because Chris Pratt can't be the only person he sent back in time. Maybe he's trying to... Warwick Davis is trying to create bums on people for nefarious purposes.
Why would the bum king reach forward and grab Chris Pratt at a time? That seems like an act of desperation of someone who's trying to fight the bum king. Anus queen.
Yes.
Tom's got his head in his hands.
I'm loving this film. This is the best.
We haven't settled on like a premise yet. We've just sort of been... smashing around ideas.
Eight genres.
Yeah. I was thinking Warwick Davis is the last of his kind, but if he can bring bums back to the past, that's where he goes and finds Chris Pratt.
Okay.
He can reestablish his
dominance,
I guess.
Okay, so Warwick Davis isn't an evil bum dweller man.
No.
He is
the antagonist, but he does have a reason for doing what he does, and that is stealing people from the future through the bum.
Using his magic to transfer bums onto everyone.
Yeah. I'll be honest, Tom, I don't want to get into the mechanics of time travel here, but reaching into a future when no one has bums... Reaching into a future where everyone has bums seems tough.
Well, that's the way he does it. That's the way he time travels. And he's like, oh, shit. Well, they've got no bums here. They've got no bums in this time period. Why? Why? Why is there a generation of people with no bums? Chris Pratt...
That's why I feel like we should introduce either another character who's like, I don't want anyone to have bums.
Mm.
She's trying to wipe out Warwick Davis's race.
Bryce Dallas Howard hates Warwick Davis.
He's the anti-bum.
Yeah. There's a whole scene where Warwick Davis is expositing this on that field with Chris Pratt. Once he's taken him back... He then tells Chris Pratt what's going on. He's like, well, she came and guillotined everyone's arse off.
And just before, right, that's why I said there's a dead guy out on the heath.
Mm.
Because Like, he was the last guy running away from Bryce Dallas Howard.
This be the intro, yeah.
Yeah, this is like the pre-title scene. And Warwick Davis runs up behind him, reaches through his bum and drags out Chris Pratt. Oh, well, no, he reaches through this guy's bum, the last guy on Earth with a bum, right? And then you just, it cuts to a close-up of Warwick Davis's face, right? Who's got his arm outstretched, and then just a blue glow is just on his face. And that's when it suddenly, like, you hear a scream and then cut to Chris Pratt waking up in the morning. Teaching his lesson.
Bumps. There's a girl in the front row with "Love You" written on her eyelids. It's literally the same scene from Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
but we just superimpose Chris Pratt's face onto Harrison Ford's. So he's back in the past,
and no one has bums. Except
no one
for
has
him.
Bums. I think he walks into a town. Warwick Davis hides up his bum.
Yep.
Because Bryce Dallas Howard knows that Warwick Davis has the power to jump through people's bums. So he's in disguise. And there's this whole scene of him walking through the town to that song by the Bee Gees from Saturday Night Fever, where it's ding, 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 ding. But like, just a shot of his arse wobbling. And people are like, he has a bum!
And everyone's hurrying out of the street, like, oh, get away, no.
Closing the shutters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there are so many chances for, like, funny little scenes, like when he asks, do you know where the toilet is? And he's like, what is this mythical concept you call a toilet?
Well, they can still piss.
Yeah, but it's medieval time. They do it in the streets.
We ain't heard of sitting down toilets for some time.
Why would you want to sit down
one? There are women.
I'll repeat that question again. Why would you want to sit down to go number one?
All right. So,
what's number two in this world? Don't you worry about that, mate.
It's never addressed again. Don't you worry about that.
What's number two in this world? Us, under the rule of Bryce Dallas Howard's character. Under the rule of the no-bum queen. In fact, they're called it's called the No-Bum Empire. And so, yeah, like... Basically, he has to go on a quest to find an armored pair of pants.
So that can enhance the power of the bum.
Yeah. It's Warwick got like Davis a. Talks it's got, like...
Warwick Davis has an entire split scene where he explains farts. Like, did you know that there is a power that that bum is capable of? Where it can expel gas, nauseous gas. And Chris Pratt's like, got his eyes wide open, like really intently listening. But he's like, but with these special pair of pants, it can become a force to be reckoned with.
A weapon. and like, he eventually gets these pants off. He has to, like, fight a wizard.
Sam Neill.
And Sam Neill, the wizard. And,
in the same Merlin outfit he wore years ago.
Yeah. And he's like, you have proven yourself worthy. No one knows what his accent is.
He's drunk. That's his accent.
Yeah. You have proven yourself worthy. And gives hands over this. They fight in a kind of dreamlike state that all looks like loads of butts. Bums. Sphincters.
Butts everywhere. Butts just... Yeah, very poetic.
And he hands him this pair of pants that has the one of those opening and closing eyes, like in GoldenEye. Like a camera shutter.
Aperture thing.
I've just thought, at the end of the film, can it we then reveal the real title of the film. King, what was the, is it the Bum King, the name
the
is?
Bum King, the Bum King, yeah.
The Bum King, Thunderpants 2.
And yeah, so at the end...
Don't reveal that to the end. Like, yeah. For now, we're doing just a regular first prototype.
At the end, Chris Pratt blasts Bryce Dallas Howard into space.
Yes.
With a giant fart. Oh, no, he puts the pants on her.
Right.
And because he's farted a load into these pants, it's enough gas to launch her into space.
Okay, that seems tough in an action scene to do.
Exactly, that's why it should be done. Risks need to be taken, Matt.
It's like the wrong trousers. He pushes her off a cliff into a a pair of pants slung at, like, him and Davis spend ages, like, you don't know what they're working on. You know those scenes where they're working on something mechanical, but they don't know what they're working on, and yeah. It's just like they've just put up these two branches to sling up this pair of pants so that they can basically push Bryce Dallas Howard off a cliff into these pants.
Well, what happens is it gets broken at some point because he has to fight all of the forces with his special pants powers. But at one point, at some point, Warwick Davis has to sacrifice himself.
Yeah, Warwick Davis sacrifices himself. And okay, so I've got a brilliant ending now that Chris Pratt has no way home. the pants are broken, right? And Chris Pratt says, "Oh no, by the looks of it, I can't use farts as a weapon anymore. This is just keeps on saving up all the farts I use. It doesn't fire them anymore. It's going to explode soon. It's going to fire off into. It's got so much potential power." So in the final fight, Warwick Davis dies, sacrifices himself to get Bryce Dallas Howard off the cliff. She falls in. Chris Pratt, right? Fart does one last fart. He jumps down also into these pants. There's one last fart and grabs onto Bryce Dallas Howard. They both rocket off into space, right? And they have a little fight on the way up. Once they're into orbit, he kicks Bryce Dallas Howard off and puts the helmet onto. He puts the pants onto his head, which are now full of air. He pulls himself all the way into the pants. These magic pants orbits Earth for thousands of years.
And then he ends up crashing down on Earth again.
Crashes down, but he's gone too far. He's on the planet of the bums.
Yes! And it's a planet that worships giant statues of Warwick Davis. And everyone just has their bums out. It's the best ending to any film ever.
Everyone's wearing assless chaps.
Yes.
But the statue of Warwick Davis is like Warwick Davis, but with a giant bum. Like,
yeah.
Disproportionate.
Just like he has in the film itself, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the Bum King.
But it ends with Chris Pratt saying, "Well, I guess it all turned out fine."
The Bum King. Hope you enjoyed that, guys.
Yeah,
that's more about arses than pants, but I don't care.
Yeah,
they were a magic pair of pants.
Yeah,
we had loads and loads of underwear in every other film. So.
Hey, man, the main point of the thing was a magic pair of armored underpants.
Setting up the Thunderpants cinematic universe, yeah.
Thank you for listening, guys. Remember, if you like the show, you can always spread it to your friends. Tell them about it. You can go and tweet about it. You can post on Facebook about it. Word of mouth, if you want to actually talk to a human. Adam, can you think of any other ways to spread the podcast? I think that you could spray it on the side of sheep and line them up so that as people drive down the road in a next to a field, they see, oh, they go, oh, look, some sheep. And then they read www. You've got to have quite a few sheep in a row. And you've got to make sure they don't move. So you're going to have to, like, somehow dig a hole so that they stay in the that one place.
How about you go outside right now, listener, into the street in your underwear. And on your the arse chaps, you have written, "Life's, please donate to the Patreon."
just that. Not to Life's a Patreon, just please donate to the Patreon.
But you would have listened to this episode and you figure everyone else would have gotten the idea. I like that.
No, because it's just random people. It's not listeners who are going to see this. It's just random people.
They'll look at it and think, oh, yes, there was the underwear episode recently. I understand this.
Yep. I think that's a pretty good place to bring it to a close. So remember to go over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast. And if you want to help us out, you can donate a little bit of money per month to keep us going, keep the lights on, help us afford nice equipment and things like that, and try some more ambitious things. You can get all sorts of rewards from that. Just go over there to have a look. You can see down the right hand side all the different tiers of stuff that you can get in return from us. And remember to go and follow us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show. You can go to Facebook, facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast. Adam, where can they find you on the internets?
At the Twitters, at the Adam Owen FTW. Where sometimes I give some funny little updates, usually about the Marios.
Good. Well, someone needs to do it.
I've mostly been playing that game with him in his underwear, so this is all relevant.
I need to get myself that thing. I need to get myself a Switch. Jesus criminals. Yes, and remember to go over to soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast to find all of our stuff. All of our stuff we've made so far. There are a lot of episodes, deleted scenes, tons of content you can go and listen to over there. And we have playlists as well of various different people. I think we have an Adam Owen playlist yet?
No, we haven't. I was thinking about making one earlier, the Fist Trilogy.
Yeah, I think we have enough episodes now to make it to justify making a playlist of Adam Owen.
This is the fourth one, I think.
Yes. So,
yeah, I think... Yeah, we're now branching out. Nothing was attached to anyone's fist. I like it.
Yeah. We didn't have any fist-related titles. I went for another body part.
That's all right. I would have found a way to shove underwear on someone's fist and have him smell it or something.
I felt like that. A trilogy was enough for the fist.
Trilogy.
We had to start with the butt trilogy now. So go to soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast to have a look at Adam Owen playlist and all of our playlists. We have our favorite episodes, all sorts of stuff over there, Halloween horror, whatever you're into, we've got something for you down there. So until you get teleported, you get pulled through your own anus and sent catapulted back in time and have to blast yourself into space Thunderpants style to find your way back to the future. I'm Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
My name's Adam Owen.
Until then, remember who pitched it.
Bye. Bye. Bye.